Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
He's unpredictable. He's relentless. He's fearless. He's smart. He's a jerk. Oh man, what a jerk. How would you describe Kirk Minahan?
He's talented.
He's blunt.
He's complicated.
He's the fakest tough guy I know.
He's honest.
A self-proclaimed weenie.
He's angry.
He's actually a good guy.
He's a psycho big mouth prick.
I wish we had more Kirk Minahans.
How would you describe Kirk Minahan?
Combustible.
Unpredictable.
Venomous.
Testy.
Obnoxious.
Selfish.
Polarizing.
Pompous.
Enough about me. Let's get to the show.
It's Kirk Minahan's Enough About Me.
I was listening the night that Pete Shepard went on his legendary and infamous diatribe against the station, previous management. It was absolute insanity. It was the best and worst, I think, of Pete Shepard all at the same time. He hasn't been on the station since. He's the one guy who we're not really allowed to talk about. We're not supposed to say his name. When the current management came in, this first discussion with all the employees, he brought him up specifically as somebody who will never work at the station again. So I said, this is a guy we have to get on the podcast here at some point, Pete Shepard. And Pete, I drove up to New Hampshire. We talked for about an hour, as usual. Pete was funny, insane, rambling, passionate. It was classic Pete Shepard. He's my friend. I mean, I hope he comes back to the station someday. I have my doubts. We'll find out. But we'll also find out a lot about Pete here in this hour. Pete Shepard joins Enough About Me.
Just to give you a little backstory, so we couldn't bring you into the station, of course. So
why is that?
Can you just let me tell the backstory first?
All right,
I mean, you're
going to
talk the whole time anyway. Well, who are we kidding here? I'm going to sit back in about 90 seconds.
I know. I'm going to. Well, if I Ordway you, you know why.
We learned it from him. We have to, you know, digitize your voice too. It's going to be like, you know.
Yeah.
So I had to come up here to lovely downtown Nashville, which I like. I like this studio. I like it. It's a little bit of light.
How'd you like the goofy dragon out across the street?
Well,
see that thing?
I did see it. People are nice here. They're friendly here. They're happy here.
They are?
It seemed to be to me. I'm
all right.
So I show up here, and this is done. Nobody, one person, my producer, is aware of that this podcast is being taped right now. Now, you're our guy George, now here as well. That's two. You are three. I'm four. And
well, that's Tommy.
That's what I said.
No, you said George.
Would you just let me tell my story?
I want to give him credit.
Tommy, I'm sorry. I saw the name George. Tom, I apologize. So this is done secret. I'm going to say there's a 25% chance that anybody will ever hear this podcast. But so what? We're going to have some fun. My pal, Pete Shepard, who I worked together with many times over a couple of years, we had a great time together, a great relationship, and decided to leave the station one day. I'm not really, I don't remember exactly how it ended. I think you quietly left and then went off into the night. Is that correct?
You know what? It's like right around this time, yes. What, 3 years ago? 2012.
No, 3 years ago.
2013.
Is that right? Yes, because I was just on with Don and Jerry. Yeah,
because it was when the Red Sox were in the World Series, and I was still on the air. And
all right, let me ask you this. So I remember you texted me before. Do you remember doing this?
Saying,
listen, go listen. And I was in my house, and I sprinted and heard something that doesn't exist. And it's gone. It's completely wiped out. Gone. You went nuts against management and have been banned from EEI since. This is my olive branch to EEI because you know how I feel about you. I want you back in the family. But we all know, as they know with me and with you, we're both a little insane.
Yes.
Walk me through 3 years ago.
Okay. Well, it started out, there was talk about me going back there. I had spoke with Jason several times. This was in 2011. I originally got let go in 2010 on the night of the special election, the Scott Brown, when he first won. And then I was kind of like, you know, I thought I would be able to get into Sports Hub right away. And they were like, we didn't want to do, at the time, they didn't want to go the EEI route, blah, blah, blah.
Which I sort of understand.
I did, but everybody that worked there worked with me before in the past in Glenn. It was a little frustrating how they didn't want, we don't want that yelling and screaming. And there was all these excuses, and I was like.
Although you would have to admit that you were very much, when you think Pete Shepard, you think Big Show. At that point. I mean, that's a fair.
But my question at the time to certain individuals was, do you think I can help ratings for the station? They said yes. I said, so why don't you want to hire me then? Right. This isn't that the most important thing.
Let's it's getting go back. Let's go,
but yeah.
Get,
so anyway,
we'll go back.
So I get back and things were going well for the weekends and did a lot of film. Basically, I did a lot of. It was almost full time, part time.
Yeah, you were on a lot.
I was on a lot. Filled in. Glenn and I were doing big shows together again.
Right.
And then he got fired. Right. So the whole time I was back there, I could not get a conversation with the then GM, Jeff Brown. So when you go through a year of a guy in the communication business, email, phone call, voicemail, never got back to me. Just wanted to have a conversation with him. And I went through Jason, too. I said, Jason, you know, I can't, Jason Wolf or OPD, you know, who was very good to me. And, you know, we had a couple spats here and there, but overall, it was a damn good program director, didn't micromanage, and I'm like, I can't get a hold of this guy. And he's like, I know, he said, I feel for you. He said, you know, he's not on weekends. So when I was filling in for the week one day, and he came in, barged into the studio during a break, and I was in there talking to Andy, I think, or whatever, whoever was there.
Right.
And finally met him. Mm-hmm. He looked at me, couldn't look me in the face, couldn't look me in the eye. Looked down. I said, hey, Jeff Brown. I said, Pete Shepard. I said, I've been trying to tug. So he wouldn't look me in the face. And he's about a foot tall, shorter than me, it seemed at the time. So I'm like, you know, it's just like I could see in his eyes, you know, like he just wanted nothing to do with anything in the past. With me, Glenn, anybody.
I think that's true.
Oh, it's absolutely
definitely
true.
With the guys I work
He wanted with. To put his thumbprint on. He was going to put his thumbprint on the stage. He was going to show Entercom, you know, what he could do. But anyway, so we went through... I went through a good 6 or 7 months of not being able to get a hold of him.
I remember we talked about it. Yeah. You're frustrated.
I did. And finally, I talked to my wife about it. I'm like, fuck this. I'm sick of it. You know what? I said, this time, and I could see the writing on the wall. And he was trying to find a way to get me out. Mm-hmm. But I knew our weekend shows and doing stuff with you, solo, filling in all during the week and all the different shows, was going really well. And one day, that night I texted you. I just said, I'm not going to. He's going to try to kick me out. He's probably going to get away with it. But this time, I'm going out on my own terms.
This felt like, and correct me if I'm wrong, this felt like the, I don't remember it well. I remember what you said pretty well. But
I didn't yell and scream.
You didn't.
Yeah.
Toward the end of like a 2-6 shift or 2-5 shift.
It was 6:15. I think we were leading up to
Red
Sox baseball. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And that happened. And I just went on the air and I said, I said what I had to say. I said, look, this is not about Jason. This is about Jeff Brown. And I have no respect for this guy. This place is going to go down the toilet. I said, I can tell you two things that are going to happen. I go, this place is going to drop in ratings. Number one, I said, and Jason Wolf is going to get fired. I said, he's probably going to get canned right before the Jimmy Fund radio telethon. I said, and this guy's going to screw that up too, something that Jason has built up over the years as one of the best charitable things that this station or any station in the country has done. Everything I said happened. Came to fruition. No,
I mean, our ratings went up.
Your ratings went up, but a lot of things happened because Glenn was fired. Glenn had already been fired. When I quit.
It just happened.
Yeah.
A month or so.
Yeah, Glenn had already been fired. So the last technical big show I did was with Dale.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Always a barrel of laughs.
We'll get to him later.
So you're done.
You do that. Your producer that weekend was my old producer who just left about a month ago. Sausage.
He was gone.
Did you tell anybody?
I told him because I said, I will take the heat. I don't want you to get in trouble. I said, because the shit's going to come down on you. And I tell, who was producing Red Sox at the time? He's not there anymore. He went to do golf. He went to do the serious golf thing.
Real
good guy.
He's got a nickname.
Yeah, I forget. Bernie.
Yeah.
I told him. And he was like, wow. So anyway, it all went down. Of course, Jason called me, left me, screaming at me.
Yeah, you were done.
I was done. And I said, look, you understand my frustration, but this time I'm going out on my own terms. And I said, you better watch your ass because you're going to be next. I said, unless you really want to leave. And it sure as hell, it did happen. It happened right before the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon that he got either mutually left or whatever.
Everybody
there was pissed. Everybody at Jeff Brown. It was such a horrible atmosphere to work in, the worst I've ever been in my life.
But there's a part of you that does that, and there's a lot of me that admires that, as you know. But there's part of you that thinks, once I do this, I am ending my relationship with this station. Because if a next guy comes in or next guy comes in, they're going to say, how can we trust this guy? Because if he gets a little bit pissed off, he's going to go insane.
Except...
Do you understand that line? I do understand it,
but I also think it was an extreme set of circumstances.
I agree with that.
I've worked with many general managers. I worked with a general manager who thought Lou Maloney was a former umpire. Okay? that was the first time he came on the big show with us. I mean, I've seen and done it all.
I know that, but I'm saying,
people can think what they want. Now, I mean, current management that's there, I don't know Phil Zachary. I don't know Kevin Graham. Now, I tweeted at Graham when he first got here because he had these goofy little tweets. And I was just being a wise ass. I said, where'd you get to come up with that one? Goobers or us? And then he blocked me.
He hates you.
He blocked me.
This is the problem.
Well, I don't hate him.
He's from Utah.
I mean, what credentials does he have to tell me how to do my job or your job? What does he do?
But this is what I'm saying. You're already getting angry. You haven't even worked with this guy yet.
I'm willing to give everybody a chance. Why is he blocking me if he can't take a little goober joke
I
like
agree.
That?
That's all I'm saying.
He could be the greatest guy in the world.
But here's how I look at it.
Yeah.
And if they said to me today, should we bring Pete Shepard on the air? I would say, yes. Two seconds. Do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think your relationship with 98.5 is probably not great. Your relationship with DEI is not great right now. Is any of that your own doing?
Yeah, a lot of it is.
And what do you do? Because there's a million things you do great. What do you do wrong?
The 98.5 thing is better than it was.
It's
much better. I've reached out about a year ago and tried to patch things up, which I think we did. They just don't. They have their lineup set, whatever.
Right.
And I told them, if you ever needed filling or stuff, whatever, I'd be available.
Have you reached out to us at all?
No, but it
well,
has.
Why not? It's been time.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was, when I was talking to you about doing my podcast, which is Lowering the Bar.
That is true. Yes, Lowering the Bar. I don't raise the bar.
Yeah, but so I thought maybe this could be, like you said, an olive branch, and maybe getting the relationship going again. I have a lot of friends over there. I mean, that I respect.
I like it a lot.
I mean, and I miss a lot of those guys, and I. Look, I think Phil Zachary and Graham are doing a fine job. I'm not saying that they're not. I don't know them. But I remember I heard Glenn told me that they had a meeting when he first not just got back there now, but from before. And Zachary said something like, or somebody there told me in a meeting. No, it wasn't Glenn. It was somebody who doesn't work there anymore told me. He goes, Phil Zachary had all these things to say about Pete Shepard about, I don't know who this guy is.
I was in the room. I'll tell you what happened. Okay. So it was the first meeting that he had.
Yeah.
And he said, I forget what it was. He's like, I'm open. I'm happy to have open dialogue. And then he said, but when somebody, has a blowtorch to the station like Pete Shepard, I think it'd be hard to work with him again. I don't think it was about what you've done in the air. I actually think it was the Portnoy thing.
The Portnoy thing was he wanted me to rip Jason, and I didn't. I did the opposite. All I did was talk about Jeff Brown.
Right, but I think he looks at it as that's how he's going to go after management. Now, I would say this. No. I have made a career of doing this now for the last 3 years, and they don't give me any shit about it. So I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, what's the difference? I mean,
Well, what the crazy part is that when I was when I was before you were kind of you were still more writing than doing anything else.
Yeah.
So when I was doing filling in with Dennis and Callahan, I mean a lot
most of the
yeah. summer. So I had proposed to Jason for me to be doing what you're doing now,
right?
And he said that's not the direction we want to go in,
right?
At the
well,
moment,
well, I'll tell you, Pete. When
so
I
really, I should be you because well, I think that's what they wanted. But because sports, you know, me doing sports updates, I mean, it's a waste of fucking time.
I went in there and, you know, they had Kevin Winter come in, who I think does a good job at what he does.
He does. He's a real good guy. Yeah.
Not the right fit for that position.
He was sleeping there overnight. He was still working there in Bristol.
And
it was horrible.
And he's an update guy.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah.
And when they got rid of Kevin and they brought me in, I said, I can't do what Kevin does. I can sit there in the room with these guys and fight and debate. And that's what I remember you did. I remember you filled in a few times, and you and Dino went at it, you know, a couple of times. Yeah, and Borges Dino, and that whole thing.
Yeah, and called Borges out for the Bledsoe thing, have a dinner at his house. He denied it, and Bledsoe called in and said, you absolutely were at my house. But and all that, you know, and Ron still won't talk. Well, you know, everybody's a nitwit in Ron's eyes who doesn't.
So we're here in Nashville. We're at the ESPN affiliate.
ESPN New Hampshire, yeah.
You're on every afternoon.
Every afternoon, 3 to 6. Yeah, with Brad Johnson. Who I worked with before when I was at 1510 NBC Sports.
Right.
For a while. We worked together there. He's originally from Houston, but played at UTEP.
Okay.
Played a very high level of college football and also went to a couple of NFL camps.
Are you happy doing this? I mean, could this be your job? Yeah. You could just do this?
A living? I've been here for a year. Yeah.
I
do like it.
You cause any trouble?
No. This is a really cool staff.
Does the program director think you're an asshole? Does the vice president think you're insane?
No. In fact, it's refreshing because
is this true, Tommy?
I think we share. We have a staff meeting every Monday, all of us. So that lack of communication that always happens between programming and sales and management does not happen here. Every Monday for at least an hour, we all get together and we discuss everything that's going on at the station, air it out. Obviously, it's on a smaller level than EEI.
So that's same thing.
But it's refreshing to have that. And I think it's something that was missing at Entercom.
Don't you think thing, Pete, is that one of the big miscommunications is between sales and talent?
Absolutely.
And the program director's put in a horrible spot because, you know, sales are telling him one thing and he doesn't want to tell us that.
Yeah.
And when there's no communication at all, it explodes and you go from being, you know, a little angry to totally nuts. It's a part of the job I still haven't been able to balance, honestly.
Yeah, and there's a lot of it's a lot of bullshit ego going on and you know, I know some people, I'm approachable. If something happens, spots or copies, something that has to be updated right away,
right,
come to me, even if it's during a break. I'm not that anal. I've never been that way. I've never been a high-maintenance person to work with. People might think
I've worked with you.
High-maintenance person to work with. I am not one that flies off the handle. My Glenn looks like a fucking, you know, a chicken going nuts, you know, sometimes with his head cut off with my headphones. And he's not the only one. There are other ones. Dino, is any more high maintenance than Dino? I mean,
he's gotten less high maintenance.
Yeah, well, proud of him. I'm happy for him that his recovery's going well and all that stuff. Here's what I can never understand, and I used to feel bad for Chach when I filled in.
Uh-huh.
Why do those guys need 300 fucking pieces of paper in front of them every morning?
Well, every
story. To me, it's baffling to me. In this day and age, you can just put it up on the computer, look it up. If you haven't watched the games and DVR the goddamn games,
but you're dealing with older guys. That's a generational divide.
That's a bullshit excuse.
It's reality. I agree with you, but it's reality.
But to try to sort out 300 pieces of paper every day is, you know, that's one of the reasons why you don't have a producer yet right now. I can tell you that.
Well, I think I'm a big reason why too. But I think John and Jerry. I'll put it this way: I've worked with these guys now for 3.5 years. Never once has John and Jerry said, print out 300 pages worth of shit.
Yeah.
They put together this rundown that's this fucking high, 10 feet high. 90% of it I don't want. 100% of it I've read. It's a good question. I don't know. It's a good question.
You pick three or four topics, and that's what you go with. And yesterday, and no offense to you guys, the other day when I was listening, I listened a lot to you guys in the morning. Fucking an hour and a half on should we trade Mike Trout? That's the shit you make fun of Mike Francesa for.
I didn't do an hour and a half on that.
It seemed like it.
On a slow day, you never find some. All right, let's find some bullshit
I just thought it was funny you picked that topic because
Kafar wrote about the day before.
Rightly so. show. You guys rip Francesa, and we do it here all the time as well, when he goes off on tangents about, well, nobody thinks, traded Mike Trout.
Nobody thinks it's reality, but Cafardo wrote about it on a Sunday, and we said, it's a segment.
It's only because I know you guys, and I'm like, I don't want to hear fucking trade talk right now, Mike Trout. I don't care what Cafardo wrote. It's not going to happen. Well, in a million years is that going to happen.
Don't you find, though, I find now that I've done it more and more, I'm more interested in doing, not guy talk is a dumb way to put it, but just conversation.
Yeah,
just bullshitting,
I agree.
As opposed to sitting down and, you know, recapping a game from the night before, I think is death.
I totally agree, because everybody, unless it's something major that happened.
Sure, of course.
No, I understand that. But, you know, there's other, you know, it's like here, I talk about entertainment stuff all the time, movies I see, TV shows and things like that. I agree. You can't talk, you know, sports 24/7. You got to throw some entertainment in. I like to throw some of my. What I love about you, you do the same thing I do. I throw a lot about my personal life in. Not to the extent of, you know, but I did a podcast with my wife in bed.
Right.
It was a fucking riot. You know, she didn't want to do it at first, but it was it was 45 minutes, but it ended up being pretty funny.
You're the first guest I've had that's brought notes with him.
You are
a pro.
Yeah,
as always.
I always.
What are these notes?
I have Kurt Manahan that says Genesis, writer to host. Then I have underneath Jason, me, Glenn, Murph.
Okay.
Then I have. I didn't know if you're going to bring up Big Show Unfiltered.
We're going to get there.
Oh, I know. So I just wrote down.
What is your relationship
things.
Now? My understanding is your relationship with Orbit right now is not great.
I don't know what it is, because I haven't talked to him in a few months.
Why not? Have you tried to contact him?
Has he tried to contact me?
No, you tried to contact him.
I contacted him when his daughter was sick.
Yeah.
A few months ago, whenever that was. And I said, you know, good luck, God bless, I'm thinking of you. But he said, thanks, pal.
Which is fine now, which is great.
That's the last time I've spoken to him.
What happened with you two? I mean, so you got back together. You did the Big Show Unfiltered.
Yeah, we both should accept. The problem is that it was a great concept. And, you know, let's put them in.
Which was real quick. Which was so when Glenn left after a little while, it was almost a year almost, no?
Yeah, it was.
So we did the Big Show Unfiltered, which was essentially an online show. You were inside.
We started St. Patrick's Day, March 17th of 2014.
14.
Yeah.
So it was the two of you, and Murph would be on. Thornton was on sometimes.
Yeah.
Meter was on at the
Meter
beginning.
Meter was on, yep.
So
Alex Raymer. Diossi, Fred.
Diossi. So essentially it was the Big Show.
Yeah.
In a different, little more modernized format online.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead.
But nobody was going to keep driving down there. And I was driving an hour 25 minutes one way every day.
Right.
He was at the compound in Cohasset.
Essentially almost down the Cape. Right?
Well, not well, no, not
pretty,
really.
Well, but about, far
yeah, it's, yeah, it was yeah, an yeah, hour yeah. and 25 minutes from where I live, it was. And even in the South Shore parts of it, it's tough to get
traffic
to.
Traffic there is murder.
Freddie wasn't going to come from, you know, where he lives in Sudbury. Diossi, it just got to the point where, sorry, there's only so much free time I can give you without getting compensated for. Now, Glenn, to his credit, because I told him after about 4 weeks, I'm like, you know, I got to have something, gas money, something. I can't keep doing this, you know, because I think the problem is, with all due respect to my friend, Glenn, I think he was going to be like Fonzie, snap his fingers, and all these clients were going to come running. Mm-hmm. I think he expected some XEI people to come on with us and do sales. That never came to fruition. There was a lot of big promises that were, and I don't know who's to blame, probably a little bit of both. But all I know is I brought in the producer, Jet Stryer, from my other station. He was a great guy. You would love this kid.
We like him.
He's awesome. And I also brought in the two interns that we have from Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Without those three, and I can't even tell you the amount of work Jet Stryer put in. That show would have never even got off the ground without him. You know, so... Look, I pat myself on the back, forget him. Yeah, but I brought quality people that I thought would do a good job that I knew could handle Glenn. And I had a big meeting with Jet before that and the other two about, look, his bark is much worse than his bite, blah, blah, blah. So just, you know, and we are at his house. So, and his family, they were very kind to me because what I was doing was I was driving down there. Probably I was staying over here at his house one night a week and then staying at my other friend's house that I used to live in when I was going through my divorce years ago, and would stay there 4 days a week. So I would
stay out there all week.
Yes, because it was for a few weeks.
Yeah,
because it just the drive was ridiculous.
So what happened?
So after the other problem was during that time is I lost my father, his and his two sisters, all within a 9 month period to the day.
Okay,
so I had to take I was off here, I was off there. My dad was really really bad. For a good month, so there were times I had to be with him, and I had to be in Rhode Island. So, you know, it's. But I remember going back to the show after my aunt died. You know, once my dad passed in August, it was. It just wasn't. It wasn't worth it. I couldn't financially do it. I wasn't going to impose on my friends anymore to stay down there.
Right.
And he knew. I mean, he knew that. You know, I thought we had some money coming in sponsor wise. I got a little bit, which was, you know, I understand. I'm not sitting there. The thing is, he told me and my wife to my face, and he can deny this all he wants. It's a fact, and this is something that my wife brings up all the time. He told me right to my face, look, Pete's going to get paid right away. Obviously, it's not going to be what he's used to, which I understood, but he's going to get something on a weekly or biweekly basis. Well, that never came to fruition. There are other people. Murph hardly got, I don't know what he got, and he was there every day. He stayed more loyal. Not that it was loyalty. He lived in Weymouth, but even Weymouth to where Bo's house was not an easy drive. You're not getting compensated. Meters didn't want to. Nobody wanted to drive down there anymore without getting. It was just, you know, it was a nice idea. Then I tried to do it. We tried to get some equipment to do it for my house.
Right.
That really, it just didn't.
Doesn't work.
Didn't work. It could have worked if I had spent more money, but I wasn't spending more money.
But where does it go from that to not talking?
I don't know. The way I felt about it, and again, with all due respect to Glenn, if things had gone perfect on Big Show Unfiltered, my feeling was he was trying to get back into WEI no matter what. So if things had gone perfectly, in the end, there would have been no more Big Show Unfiltered. He would have gone back to EI in 2 seconds, unless we were really, really making some big time serious money.
Here's where I give Ordway credit, though. You know, a lot of guys lose their jobs in this business, and they kind of, you know, try and go somewhere else or say, Glenn actually tried to do something. It didn't work, but you know, it was a pretty noble effort, I would say.
I totally agree.
Compensation stuff, you know, that's between you guys. But you know, some guys just, you know, quit or get out of the business or do whatever. Glenn looked at it and said, to his credit, he said, "Okay, well, how is it changing? How can I try and catch up?"
Well, we had an opportunity. The problem was the house, the cell phone use. There were technical issues. We were trying to get out of there 3 different times. I know Jet twice had studios for us to go to, and for whatever reason, I mean, between it was all about the Verizon software with the Macs compared to the Comcast software, is all this technical bullshit, you know. But I know we had an opportunity to move out of that house more times, a couple of times, and that's where I got really frustrated that we didn't, especially the one time in Braintree where Jet's father went out of his way to get a rent free for us part of a building, a bank upstairs. Right. And Jet stayed over 2 nights in a row with the air conditioning to make sure it wouldn't interfere with the show. He put up some other, whatever it was. And when that didn't happen, everybody that I know that was associated with it was pissed. Because I thought, you know, it'd be a much shorter drive for me driving to Braintree. It's right there. And we got free rent. I mean, what are you waiting for?
Right.
And the other thing was his ego got in the way. And, you know, we all have egos, but we were trying to get on, you know, this station, ESPN New Hampshire, which eventually they did.
Right.
And he was convinced that he wanted to be on a Boston station first or we would look stupid and silly. And I'm like, beggars cannot be choosers. We are in a startup company here. You got to take whatever you can get.
Right.
I said, Howie Carr's got a whole network. I said, those aren't all 50,000-watt stations. Those are all 1,000-watt stations. Sure. But he's built a great network out of it.
Absolutely.
And a huge following. That's what we need to be doing. I said, going all over New England and trying to find these smaller stations and just build a network that way. Who cares what the fuck state we're on or what city we're on first?
You know this guy forever, though, right? Forever. Yeah. Pick up the phone and call him. Can't you pick up the phone and say, Glenn, we've got a long history together. I want to be your friend.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I agree, but he could do the same thing.
I understand that, but at some point,
I got to be the bigger man now.
I'm just saying, you know.
I have no problem with that.
Well, but I said some anger.
No, I'm not. I'm not angry, and I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's back. When's he going to take over for Dino? who's he taking over for first, Dino or Dale?
Who's he trying to stab in the back? That's the real question. What is your thought? And I know you listen to a lot of it. What is your thought of the state of sports radio in Boston right now? We can start wherever you want.
Overall, I like it. I think, you know, I like you guys in the morning a lot. I know you have a bad relationship with the people across the street.
Me? With Fred.
I still forget how that all started.
Who knows?
Whatever. Right. But I've met those guys. They've always been nice to me. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen them in a few years. Right. And it was before your little feud that you had with them. Overall, I think it's pretty good. I mean, there are certain parts of it I hate. I hate the fake contrarianism bullshit. I hate it.
From who?
A lot of times from Felger. A lot of times from Maz.
Yeah.
And both of those guys I worked with for years, they started with us,
right?
Obviously. And but it's genuine. I think Tony's baseball show from 6 to 7 is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's when I go home, when I leave here, my show at night, and I listen to the kids that we have. I listen to Tommy and Mike on ESPN New Hampshire game night
right.
for a portion. And then I listen, and I have Maz on. You know, he does a great job, 6 to 7.
I listen to it sometimes, too. I go back and forth like you do. And, you know, I almost feel like the 6 to 7 show that Maserati does almost repudiates his work from 2 to 6. It's almost like he's playing a character from 2 to 6, and then it's off, and now he's like, okay, Felger's gone. I can actually be a
person. Character from 2 to 6 is very simple. It's two words. You know what they are.
You're right.
Yes, Mike.
You're absolutely
yes, Mike.
Right, Mike.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, it's...
but it's... you know, I think he gets, I just think sometimes they're focusing on the wrong. They're trying too hard to find some sort of conspiracy theory, something wrong. And they think they're, you know, you have that, the people who say, oh, you need the Shaughnessys in this world. You know, you need the Borgeses.
I feel that way.
Yeah, to a degree. But when you know, and not so much Ron, but we know Shaughnessy has these fucking columns already written for 25 years.
That's
and just
true.
Says, pulls one out and does this. And the reason why I really don't like Shaughnessy at all, and I'll say this a million times, and so will Glenn. The hell is that? Coming to get us. Shaughnessy tried to sabotage the big show. I can't tell you how many times. Way before your time.
Yeah, Glenn's told me
coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone. You know, I remember when we had... you know, Catherine Tappan and, oh my God, I heard a brain fart. Ben Charrington's ex-wife.
Wendy
Nix, who was terrific.
Very good.
Just awesome.
Very good in the big
love
show.
Love her. She's doing a great job on ESPN.
But what
NFL
would he
Live.
Do? What do you mean?
He would go up to him and say, you don't want to be on that show. It'll hurt your career.
He did
it to so many people. He's a lying sack of shit. And I have no problem saying that to his face at all. You know, now to Borges' defense, this is what he forgets. I was one of the ones on the air that defended him big time, again, before your time. It was like 1999, 2000. He had misquoted Hideki Arabu for the Yankees, a pitcher.
Oh, he said on the big show, right?
Yeah, but somebody, he was quoting somebody else. And
Wasn't he quoting Steinbrenner?
Yes, yeah, it was a Steinbrenner called Arabu a big, fat, pussy toad. And instead of that, Borges said a big, fat, you know, pussy Jap or something like that. It was not meant...
I thought he said pussy.
No, he used that. That's what he said. But right. I knew exactly... And I said, no, Ron, it was, toad. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, well, you know what I mean. It was totally harmless. He was not being racist or anything like that at all. And it got blown out of proportion. Fucking Channel 2 was doing shows on it. They're doing shows... with people of attorneys and other media people, but nobody from our station, nobody from the big show,
right?
And they're right upstairs from us, you know, so-called PBS that's broke, right? They're like the most profitable people in the country.
Happened with me to some extent when I got suspended a couple of years ago. Is Emily Rooney did her show, and there's this round table of four people who have never done fucking radio in their life. They don't know what it's like, and say something. You say 5 million things in the course of a year that you could be suspended for. Once in a while, it happens to catch. But you don't, especially now, I don't know how you find, the line is moving in a direction where...
It's pathetic.
You could say anything now. I mean, you know, you can say anything and lose your job.
No, absolutely.
I mean, Stephen Adams last night, he's got to apologize. Does anybody in the world think that he's saying something racist to his teammates?
Of course not. And I was watching the game on Monday Night Football when Howard Cosell said that about the receiver.
Right.
And if you know Howard Cosell, the most non-racist person ever on the planet, and they went back in footage, and sometimes HBO will rerun the documentary.
Right.
They will go back to the early 70s, him saying the same thing about white people. Look at that little monkey go. They had footage of his family. He got that from his grandkids.
Right.
He used to call them little monkeys. In no way, shape, or form did he ever mean some kind of, you know, racist statement when he said that night. And then right away, Frank Gifford had to come on and say, well, you know, we apologize, and in no way did Howard mean to. But I felt the same way about Steve Adams last night. I think that was completely harmless. He just, you know.
What do you think when you, you know, let's look at our station, for example. We have a lot of guys who are older sitting in that one chair right now.
Yeah.
What do you think? And I, you know, get asked about it all the time. I talk to the PD about it. I'll talk to the manager about it. What do you think of the guys in the market around right now who are like, my age, say 40, 41, and younger, they're not jumping out at me. They're jumping out at you, these young guys?
No, not a lot of them. But first of all, like, you never wanted to be the one seat.
No, I suck at it.
Yeah,
I would do shows with you. I'd say, you sit there.
And Jason would go back and voice, like, well, who wants to win? I said, I'm not that anal. I don't care. I just want to do a good show.
Well, that was the thing with us, Jason called me up before. He's like, I want you to do shows with Pete. You guys are not going to get along. You're going to hate each other.
I got that from everybody. I'm like, I love this guy. I got mad at you the one time, the first time I heard you, I was furious because I thought you went, now that I look back on it, I overreacted. I'm talking about furious at myself, yelling at the car, yelling at you in the car when you were going at Jack Edwards.
I didn't handle that well. I've told Jack that too. I went. You know what it was? It would have been a decent 6 minute segment that turned into 26 minutes. Yeah. And if I did that today, 5 years later, I never would have done it like that. You're right.
I understand. We've all been there.
But you know how it is when things spill. Emotion spills over and it turns into a train wreck.
Absolutely. And I just thought.
But Wolfie was like, "You guys are going to hate each other." And I was like, "Well, why?"
Three other people told me that. I was like, 10 minutes. I'm like, "I love this guy."
you know what it is like when people think that you're an asshole on the air, you're almost not an asshole in real life. And the people who everyone thinks a nice guy on the air are generally more likely to be assholes in real life. Isn't that?
I agree. And I thought. I really thought at the time we started doing weekend shows that we would have a chance.
Oh, we love fun.
But not with Jeff Brown there, we wouldn't have.
No, that's the problem.
I think if this current management was there, when we were doing shows together, I think you and I might have our own show.
I remember one time.
Permanently.
When I first started with John and Jerry, maybe 2 or 3 months in, during the show, I got a text from Jeff Brown, and he said, "Come in here." And I went in, and it was at like 8 o'clock. It was during a break. And he's like, "Did I hear you chewing the bagel when you were talking the last segment?" I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Do you think Howard Stern would ever do that?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "Yes, people."
No, Howard Stern would suck on boobs during the show. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Oh my God.
He's like, "That's not professional. Get professional." And I was like, "Oh, this is what it is. Holy
get professional."
Shit. How many times how many times were you suspended there?
Twice.
For what?
Let's see. One's we had it was during it must have been 2003. Doing the tent event down for before real post game show.
Gillette, yeah.
So I forget who the client was, but and the salesperson was, but it might have been Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Hey, we got new vodka sponsors. You know, let's I know you like drinking vodka and sodas. Let's try." So I had one too many. You know, I had a couple one too many, and then
what happened?
I got on the air and I was kind of funny. For the first 15 minutes, I was kind of like. Not slurring my words, but it wasn't good. It was a bad move. A bad move on my part. I should have stopped about an hour earlier, and I had a couple during halftime, but it was small. I thought they kept giving them to me.
Well, yeah, it's their fault, not yours.
Stupid. I'm like, I can handle this. You know, it's feeling good. The Patriots are winning. You know, but it was stupid, and I understood it. And then
second time.
No, the second time was the second time again. This is when the first. This was not during Jeff Brown. This is second time was a few years later. And I always took one of my vacations right after the Super Bowl, always. Mm-hmm. And so I was in Mexico with a bunch of people and went on, I won't say the charter service, but it was a charter service, which I will never take again. And it's the only time in my life I've ever taken a charter service. But we got stuck in Mexico for like 25, 26 hours or something straight and coming home. It was ridiculous. And this company kept lying to us about a part coming in from Canada. We had military people there that were in desperate need of getting home. A lot of them recognized me back then, you know, between that and doing Comcast two or three times a week. It was different. So they're like, "Can you help us? We can't let this company get away with it." And I was like, "I'm way ahead of you." I said, "I'm going to go on the air Monday and I'm going to blast them beyond belief." And I did. And I said, "You know what? I mean, sometimes this stuff has to be told of what we went through. And this, I don't want this company to contaminate and poison your vacation because it's not the first time it's happened with these people. And it may not be the last."
Were they a client?
From what I understand, from what I was told, they were about to come on and be a client.
Well, you hear that all the time.
Yeah. And that came from Glenn and someone else. And I really wasn't buying it. But anyway, it was somebody that lived in Hingham and was part owner of the Atlanta Hawks, so maybe you can figure that out.
Both one-day suspensions or no?
No.
Weeks?
The first one was 3 days, I think. It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then the second one was, I think, 3 days again. Two or three days. And then it was just, you know.
Did you have any indication at all that you didn't get fired in 2010?
No. Oh, well, I'll tell you. This is a great story. And Jason can back me up on this. In the summer, 6 months before I got let go, I had, you know, I was represented by Blue Sky Sports and Entertainment, Kim Zayati, she was great. We still keep in touch, and she was a big asset to me. I got her on the phone in June, mid-June, and I said, because they were phasing out the bottom of the hour sports flashes at the time,
yep,
where I was supposed to do the comedic stuff, which I fucking hated.
Right.
Because it was just, I just like, let me be myself and just, you know, chime in every once in a while.
The Grandy thing.
Yeah. And there were times where Glenn would say, even before with the two guests we had, he'd say, look, I really need you today. This one doesn't know anything about this. This one doesn't know hockey. This one doesn't. And I'm like, well, this is why I should be a permanent part of the show. Which, but anyway, we digress. So the, so I said to Jason, I said, why don't,
this is something before you were fired.
Yes, 6 months before I was fired.
You weren't considered a permanent part of the show at that point?
I was, but things were changing, and they were. I could tell Glenn was talking to me less for whatever reason. I didn't have the bottom of the hour flash anymore, where it was kind of like my segment. It just was different.
What would everybody tell me if I asked him what was going on? What would he say?
I don't know.
Were you doing?
Were
you not paying attention as much before? Were you frustrated in your role?
No. It was just. It was like, if I chimed in like I used to,
right,
or whatever, I would just be like, I'd get this look, or be like, so I'm like, you know. And then one day he really flipped out on me on the air, and he goes to Andy and Brett. He's like, shut his mic off, you know. And it was something like I was being funny with the guy, and Glenn took it completely the wrong way. He apologized to me after the show,
right?
But he's like, you shut his mic off. He goes, you know, you don't know what you're doing. I went in there after and said, don't you ever shut my fucking mic off again, sir. I'm walking out of here. You can do the fucking show all by yourself.
Right.
I said, from what I understand, Glenn, and that's not, this is not my ego talking. I said, all I know is people tell me I'm the straw that stirs this drink that we have going here. I said, I feel like I'm a pretty big part of the show. I feel like you've made a lot of money because I've been part of the show.
Right.
Jason told me after the first year when I first hired an agent that he's like, I never expected your role to grow so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like, I go, that's a good thing, right? He goes, yeah. I always felt, not Jason per se, but I always felt that management wanted us to do well,
but not that well,
because we don't want to pay out these bonuses.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
Which we our agents negotiated, yep, I'm sure you know, very generous ones that we relied on three times a year. So, of course, it makes you want to work harder or as hard. And, you know, sometimes, you know, one book out of 15, we weren't. And, you know, we most of us had done bonuses that we had to finish number one. At first, it was finished first, second, or third. But then it became so...
Right.
Continuous did number one. But anyway, so I said to Jason, going back to the 6 months before, so I said to Kim, I called her, I said, something's going on here. I said, let's sit down with Jason. I said, I'd like to propose something to him where I am a floater or something that I can go on all these different shows. I said, because they're going to fire me. I said, I can see it coming.
Oh, you could fill for John or fill in for Dale or whatever.
Or be a third man in for all these shows, wherever they want me to do. I mean, I was making a pretty good amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
Others were just signed $1 million contracts,
right.
And so I could just see the writing on the wall, you know. And sure enough, you know, I think it was January 10th, the special election, right after the show. Nobody told me anything. And they you know, I was the last one to know.
So 6 o'clock,
6:02,
right?
Yeah. So Jason sitting at the, you know, sitting. I come out the door and Jason says, "I got to talk to you."
Do you have any idea then?
I didn't. But Julie Kahn was there as well.
She was crying. That's not good.
She was crying. The mascara had run down in her face.
Right.
So I said, okay. So I go in and sit down. She hands me two checks, my latest pay, severance check. And they explained to me that, you know, it wasn't just me that got fired in the company that day. It was about, and around the country, I think it was like 16 or 17 people.
It was a big layoff. Yeah.
It was a big layoff. And it was about, you know, I don't blame Glenn for getting his money, but, you know, a little bit less, had it gone to me or spread it around a little bit, might have been.
Yeah, but
I know it's tough. I know it's tough. I'm just saying, to lose a big part of what was something special.
But see, I'd say that's not Ordway's fault. I'd say it's management's fault.
Well, I'm not blaming Glenn. I'm saying
everybody should fight for every penny they can get.
Yeah,
Glenn should say, you know what? If it's whatever, let's say it's $1 million, I should get $1 million. But you know what? Pete Shepard's important.
But here's the thing: does this make any sense? They paid me my full salary. I got paid every 2 weeks, just like I was there for 11 months.
Was that part of your deal?
No. I guess it was part of the deal.
Right.
I don't know why, but why would you fire somebody
and then pay them for
11 months? Plus, I was allowed to collect unemployment. So I'm getting $650 a week or something from unemployment, which unfortunately had to go to my dingbat ex-wife for some bullshit with the house that she wasn't paying the mortgage while I was away.
So
I didn't care. But I'm living the life. I'm playing poker for a living. I'm having a blast. I'm getting paid my full salary every 2 weeks. I'm like 11 months. I'll have another job somewhere.
Why do you think that was going on?
I don't know. I did ask Glenn that. I was like, you know, he goes, well, it happens, because I guess it happened to him too. when he left. He goes, that's the way they do it now for the most part. They just want to make a change, and they're willing to keep paying the money. To me, does that make any sense to you at all?
Of course not. I would like for that to me to happen.
I'm like, why would you want the show to change dramatically? And it did dramatically when I left. And I'll give the first person to call me, first two people to call me was Bill Belichick and Curt Schilling.
Right.
And then Kurt went on the air and said, I'm never going back on again.
Right. Well,
unless we, and then he went back on.
It's not going to happen, right? It's whatever. You're asking a lot.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to Jason.
Do you think that Ordway knew, he must have known before?
Yeah, he did. And he called me on the way home. He's like, I'm so sorry. And I said, I couldn't say anything that day. And I said, well, I understand that. I said, because you don't tell people, with very few exceptions, that they're going to be fired because you don't know what they're going to do on the air. That's why I went out the way I did.
As we learned.
But anyway, when I talked to Jason about being the floater, I said, I just sensed something, what's going on here is not right. And he said, well, no, that's not the direction we want to go in right now. I can't tell you how many. And he was a good PD. I enjoyed working for him. He wasn't a micromanager. I always respected him for it.
True.
But I'm like, but Jason, I said, I can see the writing on the wall here. I said, I feel like I'm getting phased out. I said, is there something? I said, what can I do to help? I said, I'll do my own show on a weekend if you want, whatever, He's like, no, we're pretty set. He goes, don't worry. So the shit hits the fan on January 10th, 2010. They let me go. And I think it was about a month or two later, here comes the Numi experiment again. They bring Numi in to do what? Float around to different shows.
Right.
Paid him a bunch of money. Disastrous. Ended up being disastrous.
Yeah.
Same thing I wanted to do, but they said they weren't ready to go in that direction yet. So that happened. And the other part of that, eventually Numi left and went on Bigger and Better Thing. Now, this is nothing against Numi. I love Numi to death.
Oh, great guy.
Yeah. Love Numi to death. It wasn't his fault. I had just proposed it before. The same thing I did with Dino and John before you got there. I said, why don't you put me in as a third man? And I got the whole spiel. That's, again, this is not the direction we want to go at this point. I go, these guys need something. They need me in there to spark some dialogue. I said, look, I know who's watching games. I know who's not watching games. I said, I know who can break down games and just have some fun. I said, I can take anything that they can dish out and I can, give it back. I said, but this is just not, I said, me doing updates and doing those stupid little comedy routines at the bottom of the hour, that wasn't, Mikey Adams was great doing it. When he was filling in for them, that's one of the strengths. He's great.
What do you think?
He's great at doing that.
What do you think of John and Jerry?
I think as far as
just in general,
the show.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, maybe John and I butted heads a few times. We certainly butted heads when the second day on TV, he threw a fit, because Jerry and I are arguing or something. I thought it was good. We're having a good discussion, something you don't interrupt. And John just stands up really abruptly. The chair goes back. Now, the camera's still rolling, right? And I'm in the other room behind, like
we're at meter's booth.
Meter's booth. Is my Patriot statue still in there, by the way?
It's still in there. It's still in there. That's right. It's still in there. I actually bought it.
So anyway, he's like, he stands up. He's like, we are not going to do it this way.
He does not like interruptions.
And I was like, oh, knock that bullshit off, please. We're having a good discussion here. This is fun. People love this kind of stuff. You standing up and going crazy on TV and you try to get off camera. I was like, oh, God, I have to do this crap. But anyway, that was like the only thing that happened. And he was nice. And I would, he bought breakfast a lot. I bought breakfast in a lot. I thought overall we got along, but I thought it would have been better if I was doing exactly what you're doing now.
Yeah,
I proposed that, right. And I was shot down.
I got lucky, like I said. Sometimes just luck and timing.
It's not luck. Right. It's timing, this business.
I said, I simply cannot. If I go in Meter's booth, Meter was great at it. I said, I just can't do it. You feel like you're not. I felt like Meter was good at it. I just felt like I wasn't part of the show. I totally agree.
And I'm like, why don't I say, if I'm going to do this, why can't I be right in the middle of them? I can still do updates.
Right.
Yeah.
You do feel like you're less than if you're in.
Absolutely.
In Meter, like I said, managed to pull it off, but I just felt like I wasn't. I feel like you got to be equal, and you feel like if you're going to argue with somebody and you're in a little booth and they're in their studio, well, there's a perception.
Yeah, and that's why I think you've done an unbelievable job and have, I'm not going to say save the show, but, I think you're a big reason why the ratings are where they are, love you or hate you. I mean, that's just, the best. And the other thing, too, is all the years I was there, and Glenn would compliment me this all the time, and, occasionally other people would say when they would go out and do those photo, test things, whatever. And
focus
groups, which are some of them are ridiculous. But for me, it worked out great because they're like, well, half the people really like it, half the people really hate
it. That's all you want.
That's what you want.
That's what you want, reaction.
You know, you're never going to please everybody. And I've never been delusional enough in this business to think that. I think I've matured a hell of a lot. When I first got to EI in 95, and, you know, John doing Eddie Edelman and Dale Arnold updates during the old A-team.
I remember.
And then John Wallach and I doing shows on weekends. So I was working 7 days a week. I was working my ass off, you know, and I loved it. And, you know, you learn, you grow, you get better. And I thought, you know, filling in, you know, at a pretty early for Glenn on the Big Show was huge. And then when his daughter got really sick and it was like 4 months and I was on, I mean, that's when I think I really started to blossom. And there are a lot of people there. And again, this is not dissing on Glenn, but there are a lot of people there that liked me the way I handled the show and the way Glenn didn't. Actually, one of the people who told me that right off the bat was Shaughnessy, believe it or not. But I didn't take anything he said seriously because I just didn't have a lot of respect for him.
Do you think you look at the ratings like we all do, and mm-hmm. one station is one in the mornings, it's 1-2, and they're both above 10. The midday shows are in the top 3 both, and the afternoon shows are in the top. There is room, I think. I wouldn't, you know, be really that interested in doing it, but there's a room, I think, for a third sports station in town. Don't you?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you want to go back to Boston? Are you okay here? If I said that you're going to be at ESPN New Hampshire for the next, how old do you now?
49.
49. For the next 10 years. Would you
chronologically,
say,
but deep down, like
it.
9.
12.
But yeah.
Would you, if I said you're ESPN New Hampshire, you can make a nice living, you know, you're going to do your show here, it's not going to be as large an audience, but for the next 10 years, would you say, okay, I'm happy with that? Or is there a party that's like, I want to go back and give this another shot?
Oh, I'd be lying. Of course, there's another part of me that wants to go back and give it another shot, even if it's part time.
But you can do both.
That's what I mean.
I'm looking at Arcand, he does both.
He does. He does a great job. Christian does a great job. We did a show together for about a year.
Right.
You know?
So you stabbed him back.
No.
My sources are telling me that.
Yeah, they stabbed him. Mutt thinks I stabbed him in the back.
Who, Mutt? He doesn't. Mutt's a great guy.
I love Mutt.
Stabbed Mutt in the back?
No, this got blown out of proportion. At the time, he might have, because I really thought Maloney and I were going to do a show together at one point. I also thought at one point Tom Cara and I were going to do a show together. Yeah, I know, but I like to. But it was this was this is,
you and Lou would have been a pretty good show.
Yeah, I think it would have been.
Yeah,
I think it would have been really good. And you know, I kept hearing. This is when I was back the second time. I kept hearing, you know, rumors. You know, they're going to keep.
Well, they were always that crap.
This is one of the things I wanted to discuss with Brown. I wanted to see, is this real or what? Because if it is, I'm very interested. I think Lou and I would do well together. I said, obviously. And again, a big part of it was.
So then you were interested. You were interested in Mutt losing his job then.
No, I didn't.
Well, yes,
because I didn't think he'd lose his job. I think they were going to move him to at nighttime. You know, with Mikey and do this was before. I think he was doing Red Sox
stuff. Yeah.
So I just heard that there was going to be some shifting going around. I just wanted to meet, whether it was true or not, I just wanted to meet with my boss, real boss, and find out what was going on. But he never wanted to meet
with me. You know I know Mutt. Mutt is zero. Mutt has never said anything negative about you ever, not once.
I think Mutt is awesome. I think he has grown leaps and bounds since 5 years ago.
Yes.
But that wasn't his fault. And I heard Lou and him talking about it today, you know, about, you know, when Jimmy Stewart left and really left him in the dust. Now, I've never had a problem with Jimmy. I've always gotten along with him.
Me too, no problem.
I have no problem with him. I think he's a good kid. But I understand where Lou's coming from, absolutely.
I would disagree with Lou, and I should have disagreed stronger on the podcast. If Jimmy Stewart is making a deal to go to a different station, I'm not telling anybody EI about that.
No, you can't.
No fucking way. You can't. So what's your problem? I don't understand Lou's problem.
Lou's problem was they went to him to be a sounding board to try to help them get the show in the right direction, and he was not interested.
He was already
too busy.
Right.
But that's the nature of this business.
That's management's fault.
I agree.
Not Jimmy's fault. Somebody in charge has got to say, what's his contract situation?
Yeah.
Is he looking to go? You got to pay attention to that stuff. The communication, ironically, in radio is the fucking worst of anywhere.
Of course it
anywhere,
is.
Anywhere. Because everybody, first of all, everybody's insecure.
Yep.
Everybody wants to move up. Everybody thinks they're better than the other guy. Everybody wants the other guy gone. Everybody else has somebody else they like.
Yep.
They don't trust management. They don't trust sales. It is,
and
nobody ever steps, nobody. There's nobody there who can ever sit you down and tell you the absolute truth. You never know the whole truth.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're waiting. You're saying, just tell tell me. I can handle.
You're going to find out in the media. Right. You're going to find out about public documents. Sometimes management doesn't understand everything is already out there. We can just have to
dig and find it. That's the other thing. Yeah. Right. So long to get back to it. So you would come back to EEI.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have a couple of years ago, but now you're open to returning.
I went a couple of years ago because Brown was still there.
That's what I'm saying. He's not there now. No, absolutely.
I mean, it's just, I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss it. I mean, I do. I miss being around my boys. I miss being in the city. And I lived there for a long time and have a lot of friends and still have a lot of friends at the station. Now, what I think is interesting is how this little get-together came about. Can you go into that?
How do you mean?
Like, who first came up with it?
Say whatever you want.
What I'm hearing is this was, I think you, I hope I don't get you in trouble for saying this.
I never get in trouble.
All right.
I've only been suspended four times.
So Tim Murphy knows what's going on, right?
I think he has deniability.
Plausible deniability?
I think legally he has plausible deniability. I think Tim Murphy sent a document to another person, who's not me, is not you, mm-hmm. with a bunch of potential guests.
Yeah.
You were on that list. You've always been on the list for me and Ben Kitchen, our producer.
Yeah.
And we looked at that list and said, in a way, that's sort of permission. So we decided to run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we're doing this right now. We've been doing this for how long have we been doing this for, Tommy? Do we know? He's the best in the business,
yeah.
isn't he, Pete?
He is.
Nothing gets by this guy. Half hour, 45 minutes?
We're going on an hour now.
Are we really?
Yeah, that's great.
You probably get going, Pete.
No, I'm done. I'm more prepared for my show. Trust me, I'm a professional, sir.
That's a good point. But there was that. So we said we're going to do this. And this is the only one we've done so far. We will in fact have to tell management that we're doing this with you.
Yeah.
Part of me doesn't want to. I just want to drop it and be like, you know, Pete Shepard's on this week.
We could be suspended. Did he really send a memo out saying you can't say my name? I mean, that kind of stuff.
There's never a physical memo sent. We were told by Wolf.
Yeah.
That Monday. That was on the Saturday.
Well,
right? So Wolf came in Monday because I was with John and Jerry. Then he came in
and
he said you can't say Pete's name.
I understand,
but that is we say you hear us, we say your name.
Oh yeah, but that was right afterwards in Brown, and then you know, I think
Wolf's ultimate problem, and you said it, and I would tell him this while it happened. I said, Jason, I understand you have to go along with him, but if you continue to go along with him, you're going to get fired anyway.
Yeah, and I said that.
So you can either disagree and keep your pride and get fired, or go along with it and get fired, just buying yourself a month or two.
And we've had multiple conversations since then, believe me, because Jason was part of Big Show Unfiltered startup and tried to do some things getting going. He's doing great now.
We get along great.
I've got no problem with him.
Jason Wolf much longer than I do and better than I do. There is no fucking way. Jason Wolf heard Mike Salk's voice and said, "This guy would be a better fit than Glenn Ordway for the station."
You got to picture this. Imagine this is at the very fucking end. You know, this is another thing that really put me over the edge. I'm sitting there in my goddamn office for that I've been in for years. Glenn's been fired. It's me. I'm getting ready to do the show.
I'm getting
ready to do the big show, and I can't remember whoever it was with. And this went on because I filled in the last week. I did the big show the last five shows, if I remember correctly. Before Salk got there.
Okay.
And he is in there with Andy and Brett. And, I mean, absolutely, I'm listening to
him. Is Brett
him.
Still there?
No. He was still there at the time.
He was?
Yes, he was.
No, I know he's not there now, but I'm saying he was. Was he? Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
He was for a short period of time.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to the conversation as I'm preparing for my show, and he's sitting there going, "Well, we're going to be doing this differently, you know." And this bumper music, you know, and he's going on and on and on. Then one of the interns came in and said something about Gonzaga, and he says it's Gonzaga or vice versa. And I just looked at him. I go, "Sock, you have no fucking chance." I said, "You'll be gone in 6 months." I said, "If you make it 6 months, I'll be stunned." I go, "But you have no chance." I go, "I don't know how you do." I said, "I hope you." I said, "I hope you didn't sell your house in Seattle." I said, "I hope you didn't."
It was the single worst decision ever made, maybe in the history of. I heard his first segment, and I was driving home, and Mutt was done with his show, and Mutt called me at 2:18, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I said to him, "It's over. It's fucking over. You might as well fire him right now and move on." It was the worst fit ever, and the biggest problem with him. Is he's just an asshole.
Yeah,
like,
no question.
Like there are guys in the air. We work with guys in the air who suck all the time. Yeah. That's part of life. And if they suck, so what? Not everybody's great in the radio. But he sucked. And he was an asshole. And he was an asshole to little people, you know, so-called little people, which is even worse.
Kirk, I remember the first day. This was that day. And he's sitting there. By the time walking from our office to the bathroom, four people came up to me. One, our big production person. Mm-hmm. Two salespeople. somebody else saying, "Who the fuck is this shithead? We're going to kill him."
Right.
I mean, the salespeople want to take him up back and beat him like a, you know, like a sixth grader.
You know, there are people that people hate on the radio, but they actually kind of like.
Yeah.
He wasn't one of those guys. People just said he sucked.
No.
And he was
an arrogant, beyond arrogant prick. And I mean, it's just unbelievable. Again, that was Brown. I'm going to put my, you watch, I'll show you what I can do. Look what I can do. You know, and I had no idea. And then Ben's coming in after that was almost nearly just a bigger disaster.
Although Ben's not a bad guy. I'll say this. I know that Ben's experiment didn't work, but I think you like Ben's. He's a good kid. He worked hard. It just wasn't a fit. Sometimes it's just not a fit. Salk was just an asshole. And he was close. Yeah. He also almost ruined the company. I mean, fucking ruined the company.
They were flying him down to meetings in Fort Myers.
Florida.
Brown was flying him down to meet clients. Who the fuck are you? Who are you? Mike fucking Salk. Yeah, I worked at 890 where, you know, four people and a dog could hear me, you know? And then Falco worked there, too, at the time.
He was at 890, too, right?
Yeah, was, you know?
The other thing is, and you know it now better than anybody, I mean, you're from here. I grew up here. Salk grew up here, but he's not from here.
No,
you have
not.
To be from,
absolutely.
Have to be from here. Yeah. I don't. Felger's not from here, but he's been here forever.
Well, that's a problem I have, too, with a lot of, between Nesson and Comcast.
Oh, totally.
I mean,
totally.
It's just, you know, Nesson's just, there's issues. I mean,
it's a joke.
I love, you know, when I have Jack on, I have Tom, I have people on.
Those
from
guys
there.
Are different. They're
but
different.
I have to, you know, you have to go through different channels. But I remember Glenn having a conversation back then with when new management took over there about 10 years ago. They had no idea who any of us were.
I believe it.
I mean, how can you not know the number one sports radio station and the people that are working there on the air? Absolutely no clue. And then when they dropped you guys, that was, you know, that didn't make any sense.
Yeah, it was just kind of my fault too. But
what Dunkin' Donuts or whatever?
No. I said a lot of stuff about Remy and Jenny Dell, and I was negative toward Nesson. And, you know, but my argument to Nesson would be, don't be boring. You know, don't suck. If you do a better job, the game production is fine.
Yeah.
Everything else, you see these people, you're right. I don't know who are they?
And you just Al Duncan just left to go to ESPN to do Sports Center. Fucking kidding me?
But they all go to ESPN. Right?
I know
Scott
that.
Went there. But that to me, Pete, is an indictment because ESPN wants people, all due respect, I know we're in the ESPN building but national ESPN wants to be boring.
First of all, let me tell you something.
I know you told me off the air that you're not allowed to criticize ESPN.
No, we are our own separate brand here at ESPN New Hampshire. We criticize Bristol constantly. I am on their ass all
the
time.
You would have to be.
Absolutely. I wouldn't take any crap from Tom. Yeah, I don't take any crap from them. I praise them when they need to be praised, but it is so much minutia. I've seen the memos that have come out of there. They are so anal about if somebody breaks a story, they will wait 2 or 3 hours before, unless one of their guys confirms it, to put it up.
Oh, you see it all the time.
Yeah. That's why I was stunned the other night when they put the TNT stuff up there with Barkley, grilling Dwight Howard. But we digress.
I think it is time for you to return. I think a couple of years ago, you know who's helped you a lot? You know who's going to help you? Who's going to get you back there? Me. My attitude at the station.
I'm with you.
The things I talk about is going to help. They're going to say, well, Minahan does the same shit as this guy.
Yeah.
Now, a little bit of professional advice from me, Pete. I've been in this business a lot longer than you.
Please tell me,
when you sit down and talk to these people, now you should reach out. I think Graham would want to. You would like Graham. Graham's a good guy.
I know
you think he's a goober.
No, but I think a lot of people are goober. But I think he took it in a way, and it was probably right because
he just
first
got here.
There,
he was a little sensitive. I'm telling you, he was a good guy. He's had my back in a lot of shitty spots.
I've heard you say it many times.
Right.
So and I
would tell you,
I will take your word for it. Many, a few other people I wouldn't, but I would take your word for it.
He's a good guy. If you sat and talked to him, I think the door is open. I think this is going. This is if it gets on the. This is going to help. People miss you. I know the people miss you.
I know it, and I know that certainly you know your podcast is one of the tops in the country already. You know, and I would look. I'm open. I'm open to discussion. I am. I mean, I've been very loyal here and everything else. But
well, you can stay.
I'd be more than welcome to still do both and have a discussion. Absolutely.
What else? Maybe. What else is on those notes? Anything else you got to ask me? Or
no, I was going to say no. Nothing else. No. That's all up there.
And you're going
to so you think I should reach out after this podcast airs?
I'd wait a couple of days before we get.
What are the chances of this podcast being aired? Give me a percentage and don't bullshit me.
Tommy, has this been insane, this podcast, or no?
This is incredible.
Really? But I don't think it's been like, this has not been bomb throwing, I don't think.
No, it's not. I don't, there's no, I'm past.
But management will think of it. Management will say, well, what if Pete thinks I'm an asshole?
Well, here's the thing.
Then what?
Here's the thing I can promise you.
Are you ever going to go on the air and do something like that again?
No, But I've never felt I had to do it anywhere else because there's always communication has always been open.
The circumstances were so extreme.
I have, even though I haven't met them personally, I know Phil Zachary and Kevin Graham are at least open to dialogue. They will have communication. I think they respect their employees enough that if somebody texts you, I mean, if I ever text Jason or something during the show, email and somebody's, yeah, come and see me after the show. That was never an issue. Right. It was never an issue with on the whole with Julie Kahn and some of the other GMs that were there before. It was never an issue. I mean, I've always agreed with what they said, but just to come in and have a discussion, that's all I asked for. So was that too much to ask for? An employee to go ask the GM for discussion. So if they wanted me to sign a waiver saying I'll never try, I mean I would do that. Whatever legal action they want to take as far as, you know, restricting what I had to say only regarding that, right, you know, then I would have no problem with it. It's not something I can promise you, it's not something I would do anywhere.
So you're gonna talk to Graham, again. You're gonna talk to Zachary, and you're gonna call Ordway. You're gonna make things better. You're gonna be the bigger man. You're gonna reach out.
I will do that. But you have to tell me after this podcast airs. What's the percentage you gave me?
Of what?
That this podcast will actually air.
I started with, I say 25%. I'm gonna say they have some, not respect for me, but they generally let me do what I want most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say it's a coin flip. Six out of ten. We got to get past, you know how it is. Initially, they're going to say, I'm going to say I did the podcast with Pete Shepard on the slide. No.
Well, listen,
say listen to it. I'm going to let them listen to it, which I never let them do. I'm going to say listen to it. You're not going to have a problem with it. After that, I think they're going to say, and then maybe. And then I think they're going to say at the beginning of next week, yes, we can do it. So a week from, what's today, Tuesday?
Yeah, today's Tuesday.
So Tuesday, yeah. Whatever it is. So a week. So when we tape this, it'll have been 9 days. I think it's going to come up. I think it's going to pop up. Mm-hmm. And so you're So what are you saying you're going to do with it? You're going to put it on your podcast as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Without my permission?
No, I'm going to wait. No, it has to be. I will not put it up there until you tell me it's okay that you're doing it.
Who said that we're going to do a dual podcast? Who the fuck said that?
Which we agreed to.
We never made that agreement.
I said, would it be okay if we...
To who?
I said to you...
You did?
I said to you, if we do this...
I'm kidding. You can put it up on...
No, I mean... But what I said was I will never do anything until you get it up on yours first,
well,
obviously.
That's the deal. Right. That's the deal.
Absolutely.
Well, so it doesn't make any sense. Really, make a lot
nobody,
of sense that way.
And there's been memos sent out to this
you
station.
You walked me along. I know.
Nobody's going to say anything that you're even here.
Good. And we're going to... I think it's 2016. We're going to hear you on the EI this summer. That's my prediction. You're welcome anytime on the Minahan Show featuring John Dennis and Jerry Callahan. You want to fill in a little bit this summer with us?
I would.
You're in. So you're saying you're in. If the invitation's there, you're going to come back and do it.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, absolutely. Good. It's just different.
Thanks for listening to Enough About Me with Kirk Minahan. If you want more great podcasts, it's pretty easy. You can go to the WEEI mobile app. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to iTunes. You can look up Enough About Me with Kirk Minahan. You can find the ones with Sean McDonough, Bob Ryan, Dan Shaughnessy, David Portnoy. There'll be more. And what you can do when you like them, you write a review. That'll help us out a lot. You give us a rating. We can help you. You can help us. Get that done. Do it right now.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.